Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners or management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us a very, very special guest today. Certainly one of my favorite guests, Barrett Shows. And we're going to be talking about a wonderful new program that they have for our schools, where they're going to actually bring the Bible into the schools. We're going to be able to discuss the Bible. We're going to be able to discuss Christianity. Isn't it wonderful we'll have the Bible as education? Barrett Shows, thank you so very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. And no, it's not very wonderful. It's a horrendous curriculum.
Right, would you do explain to our listeners what's wrong with this, and why it is that many of our Christian leaders are supporting exactly the same thing as the People for the American Way, the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union, known as the ACLU, and all those who hate Christianity, with the backing of our Christian leaders, are supporting bringing this curriculum into the public schools.
Right. Well, the ALCU has a good reason for applauding it. They know exactly what's in it because they are very close to Charles Haynes, who is one of the key spokesmen for the new curriculum, which is called The Bible and Its Influence, and it's published by the Bible Literacy Project. And all of that sounds very good. And so a lot of Christian ministries who don't know what to expect from it are saying, well, this is great. Just as you said, Dr. Stan, sounds wonderful. Bible is going to be coming back into the high schools and kids are going to be biblically literate. What it does is it makes a mockery of biblical literacy. It actually undermines Scripture through the dialectic process, twists the truth, all kinds of unbiblical suggestions, so that the students that are studying this in their small groups, dialectic groups, are going to come away having no understanding of what the Bible really says, but if they're ever introduced to the true Bible, they are most likely to be immunized against it.
Well, of course, why are some of our Christian leaders backing this program, which is designed specifically to destroy the faith of Christian children?
You know, I can only guess, Dr. Stan, that the primary reason is that they have not looked at it carefully. They have seen this beautiful book. It's a large book, special mailing. I had to pay extra to have it shipped to me, which is okay. And it looks really nice. As you leaf through it, you see that it's dealing with the Old Testament and the New Testament, but it's not until you start reading the quotes, the horrendous illustrations that again twist the meaning of the actual word. I mean, you're not studying the Bible, you're studying a book about the Bible that has all kinds of socialist suggestions in it, all kinds of unbiblical ideas, equates biblical truth with the myth from the various cultures, so that all Bible is presented as just another myth among all the others around the world. And so what you have is something that to many, unless you sit down and read all those pages, it's going to look good.
And of course, I think that really they start out with the story of Adam and Eve.
Right.
And then they point out that certainly, you know, really was it very fair? Well, I'm going to let you tell that when we get back here. But what they do is they begin to ask the child, well, how is it that it's God? And he knew that God, Adam and Eve were going to sin. And he put them in the Garden of Eden. They sinned. Well, that wasn't their fault, was it? That was God's fault. How could God do that? Can you really trust a God that would... we'll be back in just a moment, and I would ask the average individual, how would you counter that? We'll be right back. All right, Barrett, why don't you pick up this? Oh, our guest today is Barrett Chose, and Barrett is with us. Barrett writes on the Internet. If you haven't read her material on the Internet at crossroad.to, you should get it. And, of course, we carry her several of her books, including Brave New Schools. But Barrett is has actually put something up on this wonderful program that they're putting under by schools, the Bible education in high schools. The Bible is literature. And, of course, a lot of Christians think, isn't it wonderful why they're going to actually have the Bible in schools? But you pick up the story.
Well, you asked one of, a very good question. And, indeed, that's one of the questions in this curriculum, which students then will discuss among themselves in the dialectic. Of course, that particular question, let me just repeat it. Do you think Adam and Eve received a fair deal as described in Genesis? Eve did not know good from evil. How could God blame them for disobeying? When they start discussing that without understanding anything about God, because some are going to be biblically illiterate, they're going to discuss this, and they're going to have other clues as well that suggest that God just isn't fair. He certainly can't be good and sovereign. In fact, that's another question that's going to be raised. Let me just read one more here. How these questions prompt students to doubt God's sovereignty and wisdom and justice. God allows evil things to happen. Can God honestly be described as good? This puzzle remains essentially unsolved. In other words, students are asked to discuss this ageless question that's being discussed in many secular circles, and yet, which if you know the Bible, it isn't unsolved. We see God explaining throughout His Scripture His character, His nature, the ultimate justice. Everything begins to fit together if you know God, if you're a Christian. But when people who are not Christians and who hold on to other beliefs begin to discuss these kinds of questions, they're going to come up with the wrong conclusion. There's no way they're going to find the right answers. The problem is that in these small groups, the students are not only going to see a wrong conclusion or be confused afterwards. This is a dialectic process that will be used, where all the students are trained to see common ground, to not argue, to be tolerant about all the different perspectives, all the different religious views that may be presented in a group, and we can be fairly certain that they will have the needed diverse group for a dialectic process, because in our schools across the country right now, we have immigrants, lots of people have moved in from different cultures, from different religions.
Hold that off right there for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Barrett Chose, and Barrett, I think there's one question that's asked to the children to give that specific question about Eve in the Garden of Eden.
Okay. Do you think Adam and Eve received a fair deal as described in Genesis?
All right, fine. Now, I think you'd find a lot of adults who would have a very difficult time answering that and understanding the sovereignty of God. And the fact that where do, children in school get off questioning God's decision on how He's going to run things.
Right, and yet it goes on to say, Eve did not know good from evil. How could God blame them for disobeying? So again, the students say God is unfair, He's unjust, because after all, she hadn't done anything wrong. Well, she did do something wrong. She disobeyed Him, and He had not asked very much of them. He had given them everything, and the guideline, and it was partly by it was by deception. But this isn't clearly explained, and so, again, the key is God will be blamed for doing for the punishment of Adam and Eve, which sets a, lights a whole foundation of this particular Bible curriculum on the wrong basis.
And, of course, are the children going to understand? Are they going to have a Bible there? Are they going to read it?
They're not going to be reading a Bible. They will not. They can in certain cases. It's not required. A textbook has everything they need. And it quotes Scripture where it wants to quote Scripture. And, of course, many of the Scriptures that are quoted are taken out of context and especially selected in order to present more of a socialist agenda. And so you have various socialists and civic leaders, Martin Luther King, of course, Chavez, and various others who have who fit into the new communitarian agenda, because actually that's being promoted throughout this curriculum. The traditional, not I shouldn't say the traditional, but the God of Scripture, the who has revealed Himself in the Scripture, will not be known through this curriculum. But what you will get the sense of are those social guidelines that would lead you toward a communitarian agenda. And that's not surprising, since more than half of the board of advisors of the project that presented this curriculum, that published this curriculum, are communitarians.
And by a communitarian, that is just a fancy name for people who believe in the communist theory, of equal society where, of course, communism is really not an equal society. It's a ruling elite. And then, of course, everybody else is equal.
Right. I think communitarianism is a sort of a nice, soft, more benevolent version of communism. It embraces capitalism, but it also embraces the socialist principles of total control of community, a hierarchy of councils or dialectic group from the grassroots all the way up to the top. Would this be a good way to start, a good time to explain Etzioni, Amitai Etzioni, who's the founder of the Communitarian Network, who's also a member of the Mikhail Gorbachev World Political Forum, and has spoken at Gorbachev's conferences.
And of course, Gorbachev is a lifelong communist, so you have to understand what they're doing is imposing these ideas on the minds of our children. And the goal is a new world order and a new world religion. We've got to destroy Christianity, and we're going to use our public schools to do it in the name of Bible literacy.
Right, exactly, because the biblical inerrancy, biblical truth, absolute truth doesn't fit the new agenda for continual change. And of course, continual change is written into the UNESCO's education plan. It's in corporations now. Churches are talking about continual change, continual adaptation to this changing culture. And we know our culture is changing. And so what it means is that you have to let go. The whole process begins with doing away with all those absolute truths and undermining, retraining minds that might have been stuck in the biblical frame of reference, where you somehow take a stand on something that doesn't change, which God's Word doesn't. And so we don't fit, those of us who believe in God's Word. And students who come to public schools with a Christian background, trained in their churches, where they still are biblical churches, and trained by their parents to love God and follow His Word, they are put into these groups where, again, the rules, the ground rules, are to be tolerant and respectful and appreciative of all different views, to be willing to share their feelings, listen empathetically, walk in the shoes of the people who are saying totally opposite, presenting totally opposite values and beliefs, and you cannot disagree or argue with them. You can only sit and learn to feel their feelings somehow through the process of talking and sharing empathetically, begin to form a new consensus. Thesis, antithesis, and a new synthesis every week. And, for each meeting, that particular synthesis of that particular meeting becomes the thesis next time, and you continue to change a little more at the next meeting.
And, of course, it's basically to undermine the faith of our children.
Right.
Using the dialectic process that Hegel described, which is the very foundation of communism. Communism is dialectic materialism, Hegel and Feuerbach.
Right, and of course, Amitai Etzioni and his followers and others who are involved in the Third Way. The Third Way is which Tony Blair talked about quite a bit, and he still does, actually, and we heard Clinton talking about it, and many communitarians have said that actually President Bush's inaugural address in the last one was a communitarian message because of his belief in faith-based, the partnership between government and civil society, which is a communitarian idea. In fact, it matches Peter Drucker. And we've talked about Peter Drucker before.
Well, why don't you explain to our listeners, though, who Peter Drucker is and why is he as pivotal to this movement? Why his rich growth movement? Why is pivotal to the whole recent transformation of our society during the last generation?
Well, Peter Drucker is the acknowledged guru to Rick Warren for the purpose-driven, whole purpose-driven movement. He's a guru to Bob Buford, who heads up the Leadership Network, which is a network that works with all the mega churches in this country around the world. Bob Buford and Rick Warren have worked together. The book that is most strategic, one of the best books or most strategic books for creating change in churches is Leading Congregational Change, which was very heavily promoted by Bob Buford, and Rick Warren endorsed it with these words: leading a church to change from being tradition or program driven to being purpose driven is a task filled with all kinds of potentially explosive issues. This is a book you ought to read before you change anything. It's really setting out Drucker's program for changing a church, but also for changing society. And the basis for it, I mean, the basic, simplest formula for this transformation, as Drucker explains it, and he refers to this all the time. So if our listeners come to our website and read especially the last few articles on the Warren's Peace Plan, and there's three articles that I've completed, and all of them are implementing Drucker's system and quote Drucker talking about the fact that you have to have partnerships between the public sector, which is government, the private sector, which is business, and the social sector, which is the community and primarily the churches, because only the churches are powerful enough and have a big enough network around the world that they can bring about the needed change in communities.
And of course, this is why Rick Warren was invited to come back to talk to the Council on Foreign Relations. Their goal is a new world order, a new world religion. Rick Warren, of course, has been to the United Nations and has been asked to address their organizations. Why? Because they're going to use the church to change the world, but not, of course, as God wants it changed, but as the communitarians like Gorbachev want it changed. How could that happen in our society?
Well, I think it sounds good. And of course, anything right now, people see so much hostility toward Christianity in the media, and I think they're so happy to see somebody saying, well, we're going to spread the gospel, and they don't realize that it's a distorted gospel.
Now, what about what's really going on with this Bible-based program or this, the Bible is literature that they're going to be teaching in our schools? How does that fit in?
Well, it fits in because it changes God's word. It takes the absoluteness. Let me give you a few more examples. For example, it undermines the heart of Christianity. Here's a quote. Jesus was seen as an example of self-sacrifice that can be imitated. On your own, try to find examples of such Christ figures in literature, film, or even music. So now we're told that Jesus was, his example was self-sacrifice, and you can imitate him, just as if he was just an ordinary man and not God. And then you're told to find examples of Christ figures in film and music and literature, and when you start looking, what do you see? I mean, would Gandhi fit? He was a Hindu. Would he fit the model of self-sacrifice in somebody who was like Jesus? I think in many minds he would. So would probably Martin Luther King and many others who have been held up as heroes, as social heroes, because of their battle for whatever social rights they might have been fighting for. And so all of a sudden, by equating Jesus with these other characters, and many of them who were far from Christianity and didn't live Christian lives, all of a sudden you've demeaned the nature of Jesus because people identify him with those who actually represent a totally different philosophy.
And of course the thing is, there has to be an absolute truth, and of course Christians believe that is the Holy Scriptures. But of course we're getting away from that. Well, how do you feel about the Holy Scriptures? How do you feel about this and that and the other thing? What does it matter how the child feels? What does it matter what I feel or what Barrett feels? The Scriptures has to be the final foundation of truth, but then truth has become relative today, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States
and throughout the world. AIDS, the unnecessary epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine. The fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level. And the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the unnecessary epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and there's so many people out there who says, well, now we're going to get the Bible back into school. Oh, we're going to reclaim our country because our children are going to learn those absolute truths in the Bible. But that's not why the ACLU and the People for the American Way and the radical left are embracing this, is it, Barrett?
No, it's not. They know it'll do exactly the opposite, and so they're very happy because it's essential to their agenda that biblical truth be undermined and that the youth of America be set free from those old dogmas and doctrines, or what Brock Chisholm, the first head of the World Health Organization, called poisonous certainties. In fact, he was decrying the fact that parents had the right still to teach poisonous certainties to their children because he didn't see that as benefiting the society, because he didn't know God. But that's really where we're heading very quickly right now. Here's one more example from Genesis. It states in the book that most Christians and Jews don't read Genesis as a literal account of God's creation of the world. And so it asks students to, quote, look up some examples of other ancient literature and mythology the origins of the world.
Other mythology, as if the Bible is mythology.
Right, exactly. And so, of course, you can't trust it for being factual. You just put it aside, and then the students together can evaluate which religion they like the best, which creation mythology makes most sense to each one of them. And you can be sure it's not going to be the biblical one. Here's another example. Here's how it ridicules biblical warnings and prophecy. Quote, "You've probably seen a cartoon or a movie depiction of the prophet of doom, a shaggy, bearded individual in ragged robes ranting from a soap box or wearing a sandwich board that reads, 'The end is near.'" That's your ridiculous picture of the Old Testament prophet. And then it goes on to say, "Try your hand at doing some apocalyptic writing." So now the students can try to write their own prophecies, maybe whatever they might like to write about as far as end times.
In other words, the Bible is not the Word of God. You can make it up just as good as he did.
Exactly. I mean, everything undermines biblical truth. It brings us back. It accomplishes what Bach Chisholm wanted. It accomplishes what the various behavioral scientists who came, from the Frankfurt Institute, like Kurt Levin, back in Adorno, those who came to bring about change in society, social change by manipulating minds. And I think especially of Kurt Levin, because he was talking about how you have to unfreeze minds. In order to bring about the change, you have to unfreeze minds, then you fill those minds that are now been opened with new information, and then you freeze them again at the new point where they're supposed to be. But then, of course, you open it, because if you're going to go with continual change, you have to keep opening it a little bit, let in a little bit more information. But the trained group facilitators know how to move each group forward, each student, each adult, whoever is in these dialectic groups, how to unfreeze minds and then refreeze them again. And actually, that's pretty much what Julian Huxley, who was the first head of UNESCO and who wrote a book back in 1947 that he was, of course, in the process of writing when he was asked to be the head of UNESCO, brother of Aldous Huxley, Fabian socialist like his brother, and he wrote, "We must shun dogma, whether it be the theological dogma, or be theological dogma or Marxist dogma. East and West will not agree on the basis of the future if they merely hurl at each other the fixed ideas of the past. For that's what dogmas are, the crystallization of some dominant system of thought. If we are to achieve progress, we must learn to uncrystallize our dogmas." Unquote.
In other words, we cannot have absolute truth. Everything is relative. And our sexual mores are relative. Our belief about what's right and wrong is relative. Our belief in the Ten Commandments, well, that's why they want to get the Ten Commandments out of our schools and out of our public places. Because, after all, God is so intolerant of. There might be positions where it's all right to murder people, or it's all right to commit adultery, or it's all right to lie. Everything is relative. Isn't this really what they want to do?
Yes, it is. But we have to understand that in order to get to that point, get from where we are today to that point where everything is relative, requires this process of uncrystallizing dogmas, of taking apart what people believe, cause them to re-examine it, recast it, as some communitarians have said, recast it, rethink it, and come up with a whole new understanding of Scripture that is compatible with other religions, so that we can all live together in peace and solidarity. In a global community.
But of course, what people don't understand is there really is a master plan. It's being carried out today. You can read it. It's called The Earth Charter. It's written by that great American patriot, Mikhail Gorbachev.
Right.
In combination with Marie Strong, a multi-billionaire, and, of course, Stephen Rockefeller, a multi-billionaire. I wonder why they're all working together.
But if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Barrett Cho, since he's talking about this wonderful agenda we have that is being embraced by so many Christian leaders. Isn't it wonderful we're going to be able to get the Bible and the study of the Bible back into the classroom? So you pick up the story there, Barrett.
Well, I'd like to just quote a statement by Amitai Atsioni.
And again, who is he?
He's the founder of the Communitarian Network, the one who started publishing the Communitarian Response, and he also is involved with more than half of the people who are on the advisory board of Bible Literacy Project, which published the Bible and its Influence, which is this curriculum that we're discussing, which has nothing to do with actual Christianity and is an overt attempt to undermine biblical absolutes and the faith of Christian children in the classroom. And so Etzioni wrote in his book, The Third Way to a Good Society. He talked about the process we've just been describing, the dialectic process when children are in groups, and it fits right in with the poisonous certainties that Brock Chisholm wanted to break down, and the uncrystallizing dogmas that Julian Huxley was talking about. He says, this occurs through a process of special importance to those who are seeking a good society, moral dialogue. Moral dialogues lead them to re-examine their beliefs, worldviews, and prejudices, and to recast them. Here you are, recrystallizing, you know, uncrystallizing the old dogmas and recasting them in a new mold. But it's no longer going to be an absolute mold. It's going to be a mold that can be changed with every change, every new piece of information that's given to the group as a new thesis, antithesis, which becomes a new synthesis. Here's your Hegelian dialectic. Hegel, George Hegel, on whom who created the foundation for Marx and Lenin's philosophy, for Marxism as it was presented in the Soviet Union, in China, and everywhere else. He was an occultist. He was into alchemy, Rosicrucianism, all kinds of occult practices that were very popular in his time. And what he came up with, of course, is something that's totally a total antithesis to biblical Christianity. The two cannot fit together. But this is what Amitai Etzioni wants. This is the same type of process that Peter Drucker, again, the management guru for churches as well as business and governments, and it's the main process the United Nations is implementing in order to bring about changes. So this is, it's really important that we understand, again, the three parts. The first, you have the systems, which is the partnerships between government and civil society and churches. If the government works with, forms a partnership with churches and helps provide funding, the churches become dependent, and the government can change the rules anytime, and they will control whatever is being done through the churches. That's one way of grasping control without establishing laws through Congress. Now, at the very top of this system, there will be standards set. Standards and assessments will be made. Some of the assessments will be made further down the pyramid, which is the system of partnerships, but the assessments will always have to correspond to the standards that are set at the top. In the way the standards for human resource development, for the way people are to think in the 21st century, for the kind of communities that must be formed around the world, those standards are set at the very top, whether it's through the International Standardization Organization, ISO, 9,000, 14,000. 14,000 is the one on sustainable development. The three E's, which are environment, equity, and economy. But the equity part has to do with establishing solidarity with how human people, how human resources think, and the degree of solidarity and social participation between them. It's assessed as social capital already in every community around the world.
And I think that people must understand, you need to go up on the internet, if you have the internet, and look up Peter Drucker. He has totally transformed the corporate structure of America. And then, of course, he totally transformed the governmental structure, and now he's working to totally transform the structure of the church. Because, of course, the church really is the most important thing. If they can destroy the belief of our people, where we can all mold together into some sort of a feel-good religion, wherever, of course, we all join together, working for the common good, which will be the new world order that's coming.
Right, and in that new world order, and according to Etzioni, there will be no rights without responsibilities. His goal is to take away individual rights for the sake of common good. And when you think about what's been happening as far as eminent domain and other and hate crime laws, and all of which are eroding the various rights that are given to us through the Bill of Rights, all those would be eroding under the communitarian system and under Peter Drucker's system.
And of course, well, there are two things. You either have individualism, where we're responsible to God, or you have communitarianism, or really that's simply a fancy word for communism, where everybody is responsible to the state. And of course, you'll either be ruled by God, or you'll be ruled by the tyrant. Or as someone had said, it's either be the Bible or the bullet. And of course, what they want is the bullet. What they want is the tyrant. They want a dictatorship in America, but it's happening so subtly, the average American has no idea what's happening. And after all, certainly our church leaders would not be recommending a curriculum for our public schools that was going to destroy the faith of their our children, or would they?
Well, that's exactly what what's being recommended, and people are very excited about it. Now, there is an alternative, and I just want to mention that because I'm very familiar with a Bible curriculum which is being has been used in schools in actually over 52 school districts in Texas alone, and it's called the National Council on Bible Curriculum in Public Schools, and I have a link to that actually in our article on training students to rethink God's Word, which is what we've been talking about this hour. And I just suggest that those, if they are teachers or principals or superintendents listening to us, that you might go and on the internet and just do a search for National Council on Bible Curriculum in Public Schools. I guess the best, easiest would be to come to our article and just go to the end of the article and you would find it, because it has it matches the Texas state standards perfectly, but it does not violate the First Amendment, and people have loved it. The main textbook is the Bible itself and not a curriculum such as this.
My goodness, don't let the Supreme Court know that they're bringing a Bible into the classroom.
Well, it's permissible, just as it is to study Islam in public schools these days. So have to give Christianity equal time.
Well, they're supposed to, but I mean, does anybody really think that there isn't a conspiracy against Christianity? Let's tell people how to get your website, Barrett. How can people get there, and what will they find it?
It's at the crossroad.to. Crossroad is singular, and the T-O is T like in Tom, O like in Oscar. First two letters of Tonga, but we do not live in Tonga. If you go backwards, it's to the road of the cross, crossroad.to. Again, no S at the end of crossroad.
All right, fine. If anybody has a question for Barrett about this, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And don't think for one minute that evil isn't on the throne directing all of this. There really are dark forces with an intense hatred of Christianity and everything Christianity stands for. Because Christianity stands for freedom, and these people don't want freedom. That's why Gorbachev is so intimately involved with this, along with his good friends Marie Strong and Stephen Rockefeller, when they've written the Earth Charter, which is the plan for the new spirituality and the new structure of government. You need to get it. The Earth Charter is up on the internet. It's being currently stored in the Ark of Hope. Isn't that nice? It's sort of the Luciferian counterpart of the Ark of the Covenant. And, it, of course, it's been displayed all over the world. And the average Christian has no idea that these people have the audacity to write out their plan. And Gorbachev and Marie Strong and Stephen Rockefeller are all deeply involved in the occult. And I don't know why any leaders don't ever tell us that.
Well... yes. Well, we know why, don't we? It's interesting, that mental health conference that was held back in 1948, where they were discussing again how they had to change your minds, change parents, change students, change the way we think, along the lines of Brock Chisholm, you know, again, doing away with the poisonous certainties. And they said, we can only move as fast as the public will allow us to. And so you have to, you know, give time to bring about the changes in the way people think until they are more accepting, and then we'll put it all into place. So that's what's been happening, softening the minds of America and Europe for 50 years, and now all of a sudden, actually, things are moving forward very quickly. And one of the things that the communitarian agenda, for example, does call for is... domestic disarmament, just like the Third International, the communists back in 1928 were saying that we had to disarm the citizenry as a final step in a preparatory phase of a communist war on national liberation. That's a communist statement from the communist agenda, the Third International. And a 1991 communitarian platform calls for, quote, domestic disarmament. In other words, we have virtually the same wording. The one says disarming the citizenry, and the other one calls for domestic disarmament. And this was to be the last part of the communist plan, and now, of course, we're moving very quickly toward that through the various crises that allows our government to put these things into place.
And as our attention is focused on what's going on over in Europe with the burning of the cities, our attention is focused on what's going on over in Iraq as our young men are dying and the terrible tragedy continues, What people don't understand is the great distractions taking us away from what's really going on. Here in the very center of the whole world, which is the United States, as America goes, so goes the world. And if the American people don't understand that there is a plan to create a new world order and a new world religion, and they're using America's military and financial might to force all the rest of the world into this totalitarian system under a ruling elite, people like Mikhail Gorbachev, Marie Strong, Stephen Rockefeller. And of course, if you have not yet seen the list of the people who attended the 1995 meeting, and you were actually there, weren't you, yes. State of the World Forum?
Yes.
We will be glad to send it to you. You'll be interested to find American presidents went to pay homage to the leader of the world, Mikhail Gorbachev, James Baker III, the former Secretary of State, and, of course, George Shultz, former Secretary of State. They were all there. The leaders from all over the world, the leader of Jordan, the kings, the princes. This is where the captains of the kings met to pay homage to the real leader. And, of course, it was not the President of the United States. It was at a much higher level. We have that membership list, the people who attended, what they talked about. We'd be glad to send it to you free of charge if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. Just ask for the State of the World Forum material. And I checked it out with Barrett, and we verified that what we have is accurate.
Right. I might mention that we posted the articles, too, on the 95 and 96 forums. I went to the 97 one. But I didn't write an article about that. We also have an article on the Earth Charter and the Ark, the interfaith Ark with the pictures of all the different various religions and symbols from different religions.
But it's a mockery of the Ark of the Covenant, isn't it?
It's totally a mockery of God's holy Ark and the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament temple.
And
much of this is, it's almost as if it's, I mean, it's, of course, when we know that it is Luciferian, as you've said so many times, Dr. Steenland, so everything is done to corrupt and to corrupt the holiness, those things that are holy to God, and to just desecrate and undermine biblical truth.
And of course, Gorbachev and Marie Strong both call the Earth Charter the New Ten Commandments. In other words, they have written on their own something to replace God's commandments. What an affront to God. But you see, that's because they have no fear of God. They worship somebody they believe is far stronger than the God we worship.
Right, right. I just turned to our website, article on Al Gore, who's also a communitarian. He spoke at a communitarian conference back in 1991 in Washington, D.C., and he said that separation is the biggest problem we have, biggest obstacle to the new solidarity. He also made this comment, and I know we've talked about it before, but this is a good time to say it again. From his book, Earth in the Balance, he said, minor shifts in policy, moderate improvement in laws and regulations, rhetoric offered in lieu of genuine change. These are all forms of appeasement designed to satisfy the public's desire to believe that sacrifice, struggle, and a wrenching transformation of society will not be necessary.
But of course, he knows that the wrenching transformation of society is coming. It's just the average individual has no idea.
Right.
But the world we've lived in is rapidly coming to an end, and it was planned that way, not by accident, but by
right.
intent.
May I quote a statement? I think it fits in here when we're talking about communitarianism and Al Gore and these idealistic illusions of social welfare and giving up individual rights under the banner of common good. This is a statement that I'm quoting from the second chapter in Brave New Schools. And this is Thomas Sowell speaking. And he says, at the heart of the socialist vision is a notion that a compassionate society can create more humane living conditions for all through government planning and control of the economy. Idealist socialists create systems in which idealists are almost certain to lose and be superseded by those who strive for power and ruthlessness in achieving it, make them the fittest to survive under a system where government power is the ultimate price. And I believe that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the ultimate price, which is going to be power, and it's going to be global power.
And of course, this is why, if you read David Rockefeller's memoirs, you'll find that both of his daughters are dedicated Marxists and supporters of Fidel Castro, and they go down to Cuba to support Fidel. Now, why would they do that? Because Fidel is exactly what this is all about. It is about totalitarianism. Right. It is about people of great wealth who support this. This is why, of course, Mikhail Gorbachev, the former dictator of Russia, former head of the Soviet KGB, can work with two multi-billionaires to rewrite this Earth Charter, which is the plan to replace the Ten Commandments and put it in the Ark of Hope, which is to replace the Ark of the Covenant. And it's all about, of course, they worship a different god. There are Luciferian forces in the world. They're alive and well. Barrett shows. Thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
And be sure to go to her website, crossroad.to. Read Barrett's material and help us to get the truth out while we still can. And we certainly don't want this new curriculum corrupting our youth.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company's been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and certainly we carry Barrett's wonderful book called Brave New Schools. It's takeoff on Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. Brave New Schools, it goes into what they're doing to our children in the schools today. Also, the book None Dare Call It Education by John Stormer. And then, of course, we have Deliberate Dumbing Down of America by Charlotte Isabey that points out how they've altered our educational project. System, not to teach our kids, but to condition them, to dumb them down intentionally. It's not simply by accident that when our children graduate from high school and they take competitive tests with the children of the rest of the world, we just don't compete. Why is that? Why do almost half of our children, when they get to college, have to take remedial math and remedial English? Very simply, The process is working. The schools are doing exactly what they're supposed to do. Our children, of course, learn all about suicide, but not very much about Shakespeare. They learn all about death and dying, but we certainly don't teach them much about Diosthenes. They know far more about Marilyn Monroe than they do about mathematics, and it's exactly what was intended. And now they're going to bring the Bible in the schools, but not the God of the Bible, and not the Bible that you and I know, but everything being done to undermine the Bible. So if you'd like to get the books we have on education, our number is 1-800-5-448-927, 1-800-5-448-927. Now, let me remind you that we are having a conference, and this will be the last time you'll hear me talking about it, because if you're going to come to our all-day conference, which is going to be held at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, a week from tomorrow, that's the 19th, and of course it's going to start early in the morning and go until 5 o'clock in the evening, where we're going to be serving lunch. We have to have your reservation in today. So you can't come without a reservation, so give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 this evening, or you're just going to have to lose out. But we're bringing in outside speakers. We're going to have Dr. Ayoub coming in from Illinois to answer some puzzling questions, which have always bothered me. But, of course, he was able to take the information and put it together. And D.V. Kidd will be here. Brad Dacus will be here. Michael Shaw will be talking about Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. So give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and make your reservation. I think you'll have an amazing time. And at times like this, you need to know what's going on to begin to protect yourself and to protect your family, because we are moving into a time of chaos and crisis. What you're seeing over in Europe didn't happen by accident. They could have stopped the riots at any time. They let them get out of hand, just like the riots in Seattle get out of hand, and like the riots after the Rodney King verdict. It was all planned that way. And ultimately, of course, when liberty leads to a loss of order, then the demand for order will lead to a loss of liberty. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the public to understand. So we hope you'll want to come. We hope you'll want to get our material. Go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. If you'd like to get a copy of our latest newsletter on peak oil, too, it tells you about the fraud that's being perpetrated. Not that it's going to matter. I mean, you're going to have to pay higher rates for your electricity, higher rates for your natural gas, higher rates for your gasoline, your heating oil, and your air trips, and for your shipping delivery. But don't you worry. They know exactly what they're doing. They're carrying out point 10A of the Earth Charter. If you'd like a free copy of the Earth Charter, give us a call. 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Get the Earth Charter and read point 10A. They lay it all out. They know exactly what they're doing as they move to impoverish the American people. And so, of course, please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and for our ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, because we're on the front lines of this battle, and we need your prayers and we need your support. So until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.